going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. As we continue, as we've been looking through emotions, tonight's going to be slightly different, although we're still on the topic. You'll see in a minute. Let me get there. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You're like me, I always want to think that Timothy comes before Thessalonians. I don't know why I do that, I just always do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 this evening, and then I'll introduce our topic tonight. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you and ourselves an example to imitate. For when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him eat, or let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother." Let me begin by saying our topic tonight is on laziness. Now, immediately some of you are going, wait a second, laziness or idleness is not an emotion. And you would be correct. It is not an emotion. However, laziness or idleness are almost always a result of emotions that we are dealing with. It almost always comes as a result of something going on inside. Laziness is really the idea of not wanting to do something that you should be doing. Like, I need to get up in the morning and go to work. And, you know, I just don't want to do it. And I don't. Well, that would be laziness. It's different than procrastination. Procrastination is you want to do something, but for whatever reason, you find that you can't. Laziness is the opposite. You don't want to do something that you should be doing. Often it's a result of things such as fear, anger, anxiety, many other emotional struggles. And so while laziness is really a manifestation of an emotional issue, we first must realize that laziness is not an emotion, but it's actually a choice. And with that in mind, I want to give you the background of what's happening in the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. As Paul, as he's addressing the church and he's talking with them, it becomes very evident that there are several who have come concerned about what has happened to those, our brothers and sisters who received salvation, but they've died and Jesus hasn't returned. They're really concerned, you know, what's going to happen to them? Did they miss Jesus? Have they missed the rapture? Are they going to miss out on the blessings of the of Christ coming back? And Paul's going to assure them, no. One, he assures them, you know, it's not like that. They're actually going to rise. They're going to be with the Lord. But then what happens as they're understanding the end times, they're understanding a prophecy and the rapture and events to come more, they start to fall into some trouble. Several, it doesn't tell us how many, but it's evident as Paul's dealing with this, that many have become so convinced that in their life that Jesus is going to return and it's going to happen so soon that they have become a blight on society. They stop working. They stop having a good testimony. It's, you know what, I'm just going to sit here because I know he's coming back. friend, the attitude is right in the sense of Jesus can return. Jesus can call us home. We can be raptured at any moment. It can happen at any time. But yet, Paul goes on to instruct them that they are to live and work hard and keep working hard as a testimony to those around them. And so as we get here into 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you can see why Paul would be writing on idleness. And he's going to preach, really preach against those who are basically being lazy and doing nothing. I understand even the audience that I am speaking to tonight. You know, the issue of laziness or idleness is not necessarily has to be in relation to working. It can be even in our retired stage where we can be lazy and idle. Follow along with me, and we're going to see what Paul has to say on the subject matter. In verse 8, we already read it, but Paul, the first thing we see tonight, that being lazy is a burden on others. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, it says, "Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you." Paul, he's speaking, he's saying, look, when you are idle, when you are being lazy, or when you should be doing something, you should be active, instead you're being a burden on other people. Basically saying, you're causing problems. Hey, he's going to describe a little bit about some of the things that they're going to do. We're going to get to it in a minute. But he actually mentions this word idleness twice. All right, in verse 11, he mentions it. He says, "For we hear that some among you walk in idleness." He'd already mentioned it in verse 6 when he says, "Keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness." Idleness here, it carries the idea of being irresponsible. He's saying some of you, you're not being responsible. You're being out of line. You're disrupting the norm of society. You're causing issues. Perhaps you're distracting other people. It is one who is operating in a way when others are working and others are getting up and they're doing stuff where you're choosing just to stay home and stay in bed. Now again, I understand our audience, so you'll understand where we're getting at in a minute. What it's saying, it isn't just that they're not busy. It's actually when they should be doing something, they are choosing not to. In verse 11, notice what it says. In verse 11, it says, "For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work," but notice those words, "but busy bodies." What he's saying is, like, he's not saying you're not active. He's not saying they're not doing stuff. They are doing stuff. But what they're doing is unproductive. What they're doing is actually they've become a gossip. They've come where they're interrupting the lives of others. They're interrupting perhaps those at work. They're mingling in other people's lives. They're causing problems. You know, even as they're causing distractions, even probably for those who are working. I was reminded years back, there was a man, I won't say his name, but there was a man I knew who this would describe him to a T. He had been retired for many years, and he spent his day online gossiping. You don't often think of a man doing that, do we? You know, sometimes even when we get past the stage where we're working in a physical job, you can become to the point where you are a distraction to others, where we are busybodies, we are gossiping, and we're causing issues. This isn't saying that you have to be busy working as in a job or physically working at the church, but it's referencing how you go about your business, how you go about living your life. It isn't talking about if you physically can't be doing stuff. It's really talking about the matter, the manner of what you're doing. You are being a burden on other people. And so it's first thing about why you shouldn't be idle, why you shouldn't be lazy, is because it actually is causing problems for everybody else. The second one he addresses, we start to see that being lazy is actually a very serious matter. When we're causing these issues, look what it says in verse 6. In verse 6, he says, The second part, it says, we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice what it says, that you keep away from the any brother who is walking in idleness. Anyone who is causing these issues, they're not being helpful, they're not being beneficial to anything in the church. In verse 10, notice also what it says. It says, for even when we were with you, this is Paul and those with him, he says, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. He's saying it's so serious that somebody who's just a leeching off society, just leeching off of the church, who can work, who can do things, and they're lazy, you say, look, they shouldn't even get food. In verse 14, he even says this, if anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him. Now, friends, it's a serious matter. Paul is very emphatic here about his thoughts on laziness. We are, it says, to have nothing to do with laziness. I can already hear objections saying, but I'm depressed. But I'm afraid of what others may think. Oh, what if I fail, preacher? What if I mess up? What if I can't handle this? The answer here is that while emotional toll, and there is an emotional toll that leads to laziness, and that's real, it's saying there is no excuse for being lazy. And you say, well, then what's the answer? If I have no excuse, what do I do? Well, the third thing we see is Paul's going to say being lazy is something that should be avoided. Paul's instructions here are very simple. We've read it several times. In verse 6, the first thing it says is to keep away from a brother who is walking in idleness, not in accord with the tradition you receive from us. The first thing Paul says is don't get distracted by others who are like this. Don't allow that influence to come upon you. You know, it's very easy. I've been in work situations. I don't think Miss Kay and I have this issue, but I've been in other situations in environment where it's very easy to get caught up in other people's lives and talking about things going on where your work suffers. It's very easy to get caught up in the things that you should be doing, maybe things at home or ministries in church. It suffers. I remember this one young teen. He wanted to work in the church, and he was thinking about getting hired or at least applying to be hired. He never actually did, but I remember thinking, "Oh, I sure hope that he doesn't ever actually apply." This was a young kid who he meant well. He wanted to work hard, but if somebody walked in that door, he would never work until they were gone again. He had a gift of gab. He couldn't stop talking. And the work would suffer. You know, I knew people like this. It's very hard to work around somebody like that. Paul is saying, you know what? The first thing is, if somebody who is idle and lazy, be very careful around them because they can rub off on you. They can cause you to start going the same way. Verse 10, verse 7 to 9, Paul even says, here, let me give you something to imitate. He starts telling what they did. Paul, he worked hard, he was diligent, he was not a burden. You see what it says? He says, know how you ought to imitate us. Verse 7, we were not idle when we were with you. Verse 8, it says, we didn't eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It wasn't because we didn't have the right, but to give you and ourselves an example to imitate. Paul is saying, you know, when we came in, we could have come in and we could have expected and it would have been fine that you guys took care of all of our meals, you met all of our needs, and we could sit around and all we have to do is speak. And he's saying, but to set an example that you needed, we worked and we worked hard. Friend Paul, laziness, and we're saying lazy is something to be avoided. Paul's telling us, don't get distracted by others, but imitate Paul, whatever it is. You say, hey, brother, I'm retired. What do you want me to do? You know, there are productive things that you can do throughout your day. I know a lady, she's since passed away, Joan Greenwell. She was a prayer warrior. She would spend many hours praying. I looked at her as somebody who was a hero. She had the time and she would invest in it. I know of others who, they said, you know what, I'm a handy guy, and I can go around and help others in the church or go to the church and help out. Or perhaps there are other things you can do. You could be a witness. Hey, you can invest in people's lives. You can do and work with shut-ins or make you know, there's so many things that we can be doing. Friends, even if you work and you're a hard worker, there are ways at home that we can be lazy and neglect what we should be focusing on. Paul says, imitate us. We worked hard. We were diligent. And we didn't accept anything from you so that we could set an example. But I want to share with you that verse 12 is really the big encouragement. In verse 12, it says, now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Paul, he really gives us encouragement. He says, work quietly, meaning whatever God has given you to do, whether it's a profession or whether it's a ministry, whatever it is you do with your day, he says, do it where you will not be a distraction or a burden on others. That's what it means to work quietly. Don't cause a disturbance. Don't go and cause problems. He's saying, work hard, be a good worker. These are the types of things that upholds peace and order in our societies. But notice it was also an encouragement here. When he said in verse 12, he's like, I command and encourage you to do these things. In verse 13, and it says, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Really, the encouragement is there is a hope. A hope that perhaps as you're struggling with the emotions that make you not want to work, that make you just want to stay at home and stay in bed, that make it where you don't want to do anything that you should be doing. He's saying, look, get out and do it anyways. There's hope there. And the encouragement saying, don't grow weary. Keep it up. You sit there and go, man, I just can't get up and do it. Paul's saying, do it anyways. Because there's hope in being active and working. Friend, I'm not a doctor. All I can go off of here is what Paul is saying. He's saying, you know, there's hope here. When you're active and busy. And there actually is many studies, though, that have been done that show that getting out and doing things, the positive effect it has on people as we deal with our emotions. But then he tells us to move forward in the strength that comes from God. In verse 13, when he says, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. The doing good there is really being a benefit to society and to others. But we can't overlook when it says, don't grow weary. But really, there's hope for rest. Hope that this will, someday this won't be such a burden and this won't be so hard. When you're sitting there going, I just don't want to do it. He's saying there's hope for you. Don't give up. As hard as it is, as difficult as it is, don't give up. But I want us to go to the last couple verses, specifically in verse 15, but we'll read 14. It says, if anyone doesn't obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person, have nothing to do with him that he may be ashamed. We already talked about that. He's saying, look, you don't have to be having this around you. You need to avoid this at all possible. Have nothing to do with him. But verse 15, do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. You know, there's instructions here. Friend, when we see fellow Christians, when we see them, they are lazy. Perhaps they've been given a gift of the Lord and they're saying, you know what, I'm just not doing it. Rather than serving, they're like, no, I'm not going to do anything. Rather than working, I'm just going to stay in bed all day. I don't know what it is. But there's this thing here says, if you are a brother in Christ and you see another brother or sister who is struggling with laziness and idleness, he's saying, go and warn them. Go and speak with them. Go and get involved in their lives. And whenever God is talked about in Scripture, and especially the New Testament, when we are to go to a brother or sister in Christ and speak on an issue that's going on, we are always told to do this with meekness and in fear. We're told to do this in a way that's saying, look, this could happen to me. We're told to do it with gentleness and love. And so when we see there in verse 15, when it says, don't regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother, it's saying, don't go and be harsh or difficult or treat them like somebody's against you. Warn there, be gentle, be loving, understanding, maybe even listening to what's going on and be there to help them. Friends, laziness is a problem in many churches. It's not just a church issue, but I can speak on it on the Bible and what Paul says. It says this should not be of a Christian. I don't know perhaps what you're going through. Maybe there's someone in here today who's struggling and saying, you know what? I just don't want to get up and I don't want to do anything. I don't want to serve. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to church. It's hard for me to get motivated. God's saying, do it anyway. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know the emotions and the struggles are real. But sometimes, for lack of a better word, we just gotta move forward. But there's hope. There is hope that God will bring you through this, and this won't be forever. Thank you for our short message tonight. And I want you to know, if you do struggle with these things, I'm always here for you. We can talk, we can counsel in God's word. But I encourage you, if you see a brother or sister who needs such encouragement, and they need help day to day, would you go out there for them? Would you help them? I don't know what that'll be. I don't know if it's a phone call. I don't know if it's a visit. Maybe cards. But we need to help each other so we don't become lazy and being idle. Let's pray, and we'll be finished this evening. Lord, we thank you for the truths of your words. Lord, things aren't always easy to hear, and tonight's not one of those. There's a warning here. It's hard to hear things, Lord, when we can easily sit there and say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the struggles. You don't know how hard it is. And Lord, they're right. I don't know. But we trust in your word, Lord. When you tell us that our testimony is dependent on it, may we get up and work for you, for the image of Christ that we portray. Lord, as you say that it's for, there's encouragement there, may we get up believing, holding on to your word and saying, Lord, you want me to work. I'm going to trust you in this. Lord, I don't know what somebody needs to hear tonight, but may they look to you and your word here and trust your promises. Trust your instruction. And no matter how hard it is, Lord, may we do as you have told us. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming out tonight. I'm gonna scoot down and